This is the national public broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
We have to qualify for freedom. To qualify for freedom and economic empowerment, the faithful must defeat this spirit to be nasty that is in us at home and in the streets. If it was just in the streets, it wouldn't be so bad. But that nasty spirit we have is in the home too. Regressive mind, shameful lifestyle, show-off spirit, spirit to show off, silly monkey nature, spirit to just have simple, foolish fun. We are being destroyed, people. We have been influenced into having tunnel vision. But we are not a community of cyclops. The cyclops have tunnel vision. The cyclops couldn't do much with their life. In myth, they have one eye right in the center of the forehead. One eye, not two, one eye. God revealed religion so we would take pride and cherish and value our creation, the human creation. And in our holy book says, see how he's given you two eyes, not one, two eyes. To see outside and inside. To see outside and inside, to see and question, to see and examine what you see, to see and investigate what you see, to see and dig into what you see. And that's how we become educated, and if we want to follow the professor or the teacher, we have to be guided into that understanding that you cannot learn by just looking on first sight, but you have to have a second sight to look into, not just on. Modern man's ignorance nukes his world. We still see the clothing. You're growing in dress. Clothing getting more popular, getting richer, more attractive. The buildings getting more attractive, more accommodating. The material just growing and growing. But what's inside? Nothing. And that's what the nuke bomb does. The nuke bomb takes away the life of people, but leave the money standing. So the victor won't come to rubbish. The victor will get rid of you, but take over your material establishment. Well, just like the nuke will do that for towns with houses and everything, and banks and big buildings, and leave them all standing unharmed. The breath you are breathing from the poison cultural air is nuking you. Your physical body is still there, but the person we used to know is dead, gone, vanished. I love these words of Maya Angelou. I saw them on a video of the movie Madea's Family Reunion. Madea's Family Reunion. I saw the movie and got these words. She says, the sun has come, the myth has gone. We see in the distance our long way home. Beautiful, so rich. When you connect what she's saying with us, African American community, the African American community. She said, the sun has come. God opened her mind. God gave her knowledge and insight. The myth has gone. The false pictures that once was reality in our mind, they're gone. She got the light out of the dead myth. The myth gives you a dead, something dead, but it holds life, the myth. So she was blessed to get into the myth and see the real truth, the real light. So the myth as a dead thing disappeared. And she was able to then see where our people should be taking ourselves, where we should be taking our community life. So she concluded with a long ways home, a long way home, a long way home. The myth, the sun has come, the myth has gone. We see in the distance our long way home. Now it can be a long ways, but it can be short too. If we stop following the worst of our leaders and follow the best of our leaders, it can be a short distance. Now, we see all of this great material achievement. But I was walking along the street, and I noticed that through the concrete sidewalk, very small crack, there was growing grass. And the grass that was strongest was the tough grass that we don't want for the lawn. We call it crab grass. And I thought about it. I said, well, if grass try to get out from under concrete or grow in the concrete long enough, it's going to get tougher and tougher. Difficulty brings about ease. Facing the difficulty brings about ease. Little grass breaking through the concrete. Then I was taking my walk in the it's really the forest preserve, but it's also the park, Country Club Hills Park. And they have a nice walkway, 5 miles or more. So I was walking, and I noticed the blacktop called asphalt. That there was coming up little grass coming up through the asphalt. You know, you call us the grassroots, right? Coming up through the asphalt. Vines. If you let them, they'll grow all over a building, cover the building up. Vines. Little flimsy thing. It ain't strong like a tree or even a bush. Strong bush, it's flimsy vine, will grow all up over that. I saw a movie of New York City. It was really a movie that was trying to get us to turn around from savagery, and it showed how wild gangs have become very popular in New York, and civilization, civil government had disappeared, and New York was occupied by wild folks, wild motorcycle riders and others. And eventually, vines and growing plants made a jungle of New York, covered it all over. In time, knowledge and science tell us, in time, if man neglect his world, in time you won't even find a trace of it. Iron will rust and become dust. The iron structures, the steel structures will all come down. Not to mention the wood that will deteriorate much faster. So all those things will go. And scripture says, search, travel and search, and see what became of great nations before you. How you don't find hardly any trace of them anymore. They have been buried under the ground. Buried under the ground. In time, wind will cover them with leaves and other things. Yes, rain will help bring them down. Rain and wind, the weather will wear them out. Trees dropping leaves, the leaves keep piling up. Few thousand years, they go back to the earth and become dirt, the leaves, and all those are organic things. And the earth keep rising up, and what you made keep going down, and pretty soon you can't find any trace of the material accomplishments of a great people. So what gives us a star will also bury us and put us out of sight. And that's God's creation. So God says, think not, man, that you are bigger than the creation. You are not bigger than the creation. Think not that you are bigger than the creation. The creation supported you coming here, and the creation will take you away and erase your presence forever. Yes. We think ourselves too important. We think ourselves too wise. We think ourselves too mighty. Put the mightiest of you tough men in a small room with an eight. And we know what'll happen. Yeah, don't let you have nothing but your muscles. Don't let you have a pistol or anything, not even a knife. Put you in a small quarters with an eight, and we know what'll happen. I hear you now, singing soprano. Don't be tough, that makes you small. Don't want to make people think you're tough and show your toughness to people, that makes you small. Yes, man is becoming sterile mentally. Can't come up with a vision anymore to advance his world. We had great men of vision in our past. Great men of vision who helped advance the human life for the American people and women. Great people. But the intelligence is becoming sterile now. Our males on the street level and upwards. We are becoming show-offs. bullies. We're becoming a global species of little daring big men. Little daring big men. Aren't we, Mr. President Bush? Several years ago, I was a guest of Yasser Arafat in the fomenting Palestinian quarters, a camp rigged and designed, obviously to me, to contain Palestinians under extreme pressures to take away the human qualities of their life and to drive them out of their human form, out of their human sensitivities. While there as their guest, I observed their distressful existence, but I also observed their unflinching moral and political determination and their human concerns, which included human concerns also for Jews, feelings for Jews, human feelings for Jews. And I know Palestinians are a humane people. They are not what you see and hear about. They are humane people. We have to qualify for freedom and economic empowerment. The African-American people coming from slavery, seeking opportunities in this world, had our attention, our interest, our focus put on this world. Our politicians and all, they had to put their attention on this world, coming in. Once you get in, you should stop putting so much attention on this world and put some attention on your past, on your human essence, to see if you can better your human essence so you will be qualified to get more freedom and to have economic empowerment. Troubled lifestyles that we see in the street, they're blinded. People are blinded by troubled lifestyles. Rich cities of the ancient were walled in. They had special gates through which a tourist might enter. Cairo was one of those great ancient cities. And it had civilization, scientific achievements over most of the world, and at one time, I'm sure, over all of the world. And a story is told to tell us the nature of myth, or to introduce us to myth. In the Egyptian mythical religion, and it said, goes like this, that to enter that city, you have to solve a riddle. You come to the gate, and there was an oracle above the gate, a mythical creature that could speak to you in your language. And this mythical creature called the oracle would ask, what moves on four, then on two, and lastly on three? The answer that you give should be the man. The man. The man. Now, if you can't answer the question, you cannot be the man. Religion is ordered to keep the need in the human soul and its expression in community life most important, uppermost, on man's agenda. So you can work for money, you can work for knowledge, you can work for popularity, you can do all that forever. But if you don't have the essential life of the human creation on the agenda as something you're supposed to study and keep and watch to know when something is influencing it out of its form, when something is working against it, to see if the culture is hurting it, You have to have watchers. All of us can't be watchers. So you should choose those good leaders of yours in the church, in the synagogue, if there's a Jew here, and certainly in the mosque, the messenger. You should choose those good leaders. Without leaders, you're doomed. Without leaders, you're dead. Without leaders, you ain't gonna have nothing eventually. The Satan and his influence is gonna take it all from you. And I'm not talking about a mystery. Satan is real. Hellfire is real. Huh? Well, it's real. Show me Satan. Look in the mirror. You probably have become so corrupt, all you have to do is look in the mirror. God says to us, O you who believe, save your own soul and save your families from the wildfires of blind passions. That's the Quran, our holy book. For both religion and secular society, family life is first. Family life is first. The whole world of achievements has to be seen, tracing back, going back to family. Man has a family, small community, the first unit of society, the unit or community unit that's called family. It all originated from there. And that's why God wants us to identify with the whole human family on the planet Earth, so that we will be prepared to survive and enjoy all the riches God created for us and not destroy each other. So God tells us we all came from a pair, a male and a female, and they had children, and family was established. And those families progressed and became tribes and nations. God tells us how it all started and how we got to be where we are. And he says, he did that not that you should tower over each other with your egos, but that you should want to know one another, become acquainted with each other, one another. Why? Because if you become acquainted with the people from a distant land that you call strangers, and the savage, he wanted to conquer everything other than himself. So if he found other people, then if he thought he had the might to do so, he wanted to conquer them and take their land and take over their lives. But that's the ignorant man. That's not the divinely guided man. So God says he did not make you different for you to tower over each other, look down on each other, despise one another, and want to dominate one another, but he made you different so you will be curious to get acquainted with these new people, other people. And when you get acquainted with them, you find that God gave them something he didn't give you. God gave them a land and an environment that you have no experience in. So when Marco Polo went to China, he came back with a lot of help for his people, didn't he? Huh? And I'm sure Marco Polo didn't say, take an army into China. He was so happy to learn of the things that they had that were not available to him and his people. He brought those things home and said, hey, look at this. Here is something here we never saw before. And I'm sure it was more than silk. I think it was gunpowder. That the Chinese was using for festivals, setting off like we do on 4th of July, beautiful, different colors exploding and everything. But that Ku Klux Klan man, when Marcus brought it, Marco Polo brought it back, and he saw a way to kill people with it. We have cellular phones now. And you don't know the message in cellular phone. Most of you don't know the message in cellular phone. it means you have been reduced to nothing but cell intelligence. You have no intelligence in your mind anymore. You only have cell intelligence. They're trying to wake you up. They're telling you, go back to your cell. Go back to your human cell and see what happened to it to cause you to lose your precious life. Observing man, the free thinker, the philosopher, and the scientist, how they engage in the study of Mother Nature, the natural existence, outside and inside, and how progress was realized for man in society or in community, and civilization grew, wealth grew, comforts grew, the good life grew, the good life grew. Family is where socialization originates. Socialization originates. And it's not just socializing with each other as we do at a party or at some happy occasion, but socialization is the knowledge that we get from each other when we engage each other. Your intelligence speaks to me. My intelligence speaks to you. Your concern is passed to me. My concern is passed to you. We see that we can fare better if we cooperate and support each other in the common cause or for the common good. That's how man progresses. Thank you. Numbers increase in time, for Mother Nature ruled societies, birthed societies, and ruled in societies. And then man, he gets all this knowledge, and then you see he knows how to use Mother Nature, he knows how to exploit Mother Nature. In time, he then becomes the enemy of Mother Nature. We have to return back. Our main motivation should be the motivation to preserve the best of human existence, human life, human existence. And to preserve it, you have to be aware of its line of progress in history, its line of progress in history. We're not asking all of you to carry this burden. We're just trying to wake up the many so the few good ones can take the lead and have more support from all of us. From all of us. Inshallah, God willing, that is coming, that is happening. We look at these simple things, food. We buy our food outside of our community. We bring it into our community. These necessities, like food, clothing, shelter, transportation, these necessities should be responsibility of every individual sharing the life of neighborhoods or sharing the life of community.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. Or write Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.